I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. Meredith behind the glass and Matt Crowley taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092.
Did you order the colder weather and the rain to get rid of the midgets so these guys could have, you know, just perfect weather for throwing the ball, even though it's raining a little bit, but it's still better than having the midgets in your face trying to throw the ball, right?
Okay.
That's why. I think you ordered it.
All right. Let's go with that. I'm fine with that then. Okay. That's what you want to do.
That's what I want to do.
He attracts a lot of controversy and a lot of comments. And he did as a player, and he does as an analyst. And he's Terry Bradshaw, the former Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback. And now, of course, with Fox Sports, and people think Terry's not good anymore, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I've always liked him. I've always liked his work.
He's at the 19th hole. That's where he is.
Well, he's having a lot of fun. Good for him.
That's what I say.
Good for him. Terry, the former Steeler quarterback, made an appearance on 103.7 The Buzz.
The Buzz. You're listening to the best in sports talk radio. The Buzz.
In Little Rock, Arkansas. The Buzz in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he was asked about Aaron Rodgers, because that's the big stink going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear that coming up in a little bit. And you're going to love his comment because it's hilarious. And it just goes to show when a guy has had the success that Bradshaw has had in his career and he's the age he is, you can say anything and it doesn't matter. That's coming up in a little bit. But the interesting thing for all of us here in Cleveland is he pivoted from talking Aaron Rodgers to talking about who's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler. And that guy who's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler is now a Cleveland Brown. And that's quarterback Kenny Pickett. Here is Steeler legend Terry Bradshaw on 103.7.
The Buzz!
In Little Rock, Arkansas, talking about Pickett.
I liked Kenny Pickett. I liked him at Pitt. I know him. I know what he's like. And when they got him to Pittsburgh, here's what they didn't do. They didn't protect him. They didn't.
Was he a first rounder?
He was. They didn't get him on offensive line. They wanted to run the football, but they didn't have an offensive line that could protect, and they didn't have weapons. He had no wide receivers to speak of. You throw a kid in there for 2 years, and you got an offense that doesn't fit and doesn't work, and they can't run because their offensive line is not even good enough for a run-blocking team. And therefore, they say Pickett was a failure. He wasn't a failure. The Steelers were a failure. He's traded to Cleveland, who now has four quarterbacks.
Right.
And Pittsburgh really has one, I guess.
Yeah.
What's that make you think?
I don't know. Is he coming to the dark side or the Brown side?
I don't think he's coming to the Brown side. I think he's on the Kenny Pickett side. I think that's interesting.
I think the argument that he's laid out, we've heard before, and I think that gives us optimism here in Cleveland.
We've heard it that badly bashing Pittsburgh for what they did when Pickett was there.
Well, especially from someone who obviously is vested in the Steelers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's where, and I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's gonna be the next Sam Darnold or that he's going to be the next Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, who, you know, Baker had to take a step back, and Baker's playing much better now. What I'm going to say is this. Browns fans, I think that we should all be open-minded about this and give the guy a little time to compete against Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and see what you get. Terry just shredded the Steelers for what happened while he was there. He shredded the offensive line. He said they had no running game. He said the offense was terrible. And the Steelers were the failure. Kenny Pickett wasn't the failure there. During the time Pickett was there, he made 24 starts, and he was 14-10 in those starts. And it makes you think a little bit. Okay, he was okay. And we've talked about it. He had some fourth quarter comebacks.
Right.
He did some things that seemed to work. And they were not patient with him. Should they have been patient with him? I don't know. What did they do? They went out, they brought in Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and Kenny Pickett knew, hey, this isn't going to work for me. I got to go try and reestablish myself. He asked out, and they traded him. Went to Philadelphia. Well, now he's here. I think he's the leading candidate to be the starting quarterback here.
But why? Why? I'm going to tell you why I agree with you.
Okay. I think he's the leading candidate, and I'll give you why, because I'll give you the negatives about the other guys. Shedeur Sanders is a rookie and was still on the board in the fifth round. Dylan Gabriel is a rookie and was still on the board in the third round. What does that mean? We've already gone through this. We've laid it out for you. Guys taken in the third and the fifth round, you keep your fingers crossed that you found a quarterback. And I hope the Browns did. I really do. Why? Because you can't have too many good ones. If you end up with three quarterbacks who can really play here, good. You have trade possibilities. Joe Flacco is certainly not the quarterback of the future here. And though Joe was really good here for a short period of time, he couldn't latch on to the Colts job last year when they gave it to him and replaced Anthony Richardson. They brought Richardson back. Joe's 40. He's not had great success since he's been gone from Baltimore. Pickett is young. He's a veteran. Former first-round pick, whether he should have been or not, he was. And as a starting quarterback in the NFL, he has a winning record. He's 15-10. I think he's the odds-on favorite to be the starting quarterback. And apparently, Terry Bradshaw thinks highly enough of him to go on a radio station and actually say the Steelers were the failure there and not Kenny Pickett. Just makes it a little more intriguing for me.
I'm going to tell you why I think Kevin Stefanski probably wants him to win the job.
Okay.
It's his turnover to – it's what he did in 23 that was in a little bit impressive, even though – he only had six touchdowns.
He's not throwing a lot of touchdowns.
No, but that year he also didn't throw a lot of interceptions. He threw one interception for every 84 passes in 2023. And when you go back and look at that and compare to his first season in 2022 when he was a rookie, he threw nine interceptions and had 389 attempts. So I'm just kind of looking at these numbers off the top of my head. So he has the ability to take care of the football. If you're Kevin Stefanski and you've watched what you watched over the last couple of years, you are praying for a quarterback that can throw the ball to your team. And I think that Kenny might be in the best position to do that. Don't you think, like, if I had to prioritize what Kevin Stefanski is looking at, forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. What guy is going to take care of the football? What guy is not going to fumble? What guy is not going to throw interceptions? As much as I love Joe Flacco, I know that Joe Flacco, boom, can turn on a dime and he'll give up three or four picks. Like, we know it. We saw it in the playoff game, and we saw the boom in the playoff game when he was here. Loved him in the regular season, but, man, we saw the Joe Flacco we didn't want to see in the playoffs. As for the other two guys, you know, their book is unwritten. So we don't know what they're going to look like in the pros
and we hope,
as far as taking care of the football.
And we hope they're both terrific.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest. I'm not rooting against anybody here, including Flacco. You know, if Joe goes out and he's significantly better than everybody else, great. I just think it's really interesting that you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who basically brings it up when he's asked about something else. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Cool Ray. Welcome.
Cool Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
We are good.
Yeah, listen, I like Terry Bradshaw as a commentary. I wasn't around to see him play, but I do know this. He must be on some kind of strong meds for him to say what he said about Kenny Pickett. Like, real talk, Kenny had opportunity to go somewhere else and win a starting position and couldn't do it.
Wait a minute. He was going up against Jalen Hurts.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. They brought him in there to be the backup.
But if he is as good as Terry just made him seem, it should have been closer than that.
He never had a chance to win that job. Philadelphia's starting quarterback is Jalen Hurts.
When you go somewhere and you're that great of a player, the way Bradshaw's making it seem, like, come on now, like, listen, if he was there, then it doesn't matter isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we judge great quarterbacks? Isn't that how we judge all the greats, is that no matter what's around him, he elevates the people around him?
I think we judge quarterbacks by their ability to win games and get there. I agree with you. Like, I don't have a problem with your philosophy, but when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter if a quarterback is a jerk or the nicest guy on earth. If they can win games,
right.
And Jalen Hurts can put his hands in front of him and see a Super Bowl ring, right? So
that's correct. Pickett.
Yeah, but I mean.
Yes, I know.
I know. Okay, all right. He can put his hands in front of him and go, look, I've got an MVP in the Super Bowl. How's that
My
sound?
My thing is this, though, with this team here, they have to start making hard decisions, start looking in the mirror. We can't, like, I love my team. I'm like you guys. I remember Brian Sipe, Hozar, all the horrible quarterbacks came in. We, as an organization, we got to start looking at leadership, not players, because we cannot say that we're going through all these quarterbacks and can't find one. Now we got four on our team. Like, that is ridiculous right now. Even though I know it's preseason, ain't preseason yet, but that is still starting to be ridiculous. And people in the national media is starting to know that too. Like, we got to be real with this one.
I don't know. If you're talking about mirrors, didn't our mirror break in 2022? And now how many more years of bad luck do we have left? When you brought Watson in, did the mirror break then? That leaves us, what, five more seasons?
Terry Bradshaw likes Kenny Pickett, folks. What's that do for you? Jerry's in Mentor. Hello, Jerry.
Jerry.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Well, so wonderfully well, you wouldn't believe it.
Well, look, my vote's Flacco all the way. Sure, he had a bad game in Houston, and he's prone to interception, but compared to the unknowns they have at the position, Joe took us from a team that had nothing and got us to the playoffs. And right now I think there's the same situation, right?
Oh. Joe was 2-4 as a starter in Indy last year and couldn't hold off Anthony Richardson, who they benched.
If he comes out and wins, if Flacco's a starter week one and wins, the whole train will start rolling again. I don't disagree with that, but they got to give him the opportunity to do it. Yeah.
If he goes out and beats these guys out, Jerry, that's fine. You know, I just think that they're looking at Pickett and thinking, this is the guy we would like to see win it. That said, I don't know that they really care. And I say that for this reason. I would think they would want Pickett. If he goes and he doesn't play very well and Dylan Gabriel does, well, then Dylan Gabriel is going to be the starter. Or if Joe Flacco does, he's going to be the starter. They need somebody to step in and play well. And I don't really think they care who it is.
What the heck happened in Pittsburgh? Why did things fall apart?
Well,
they didn't fall apart. Their offense stunk, and then they fired their offensive coordinator.
I can't say that I disagree with Terry Bradshaw on any of the things that he said about what happened in Pittsburgh. How could you? They were a mess.
I agree with that.
They were a mess.
I agree. Bradshaw likes Pickett. Do anything for you, Browns fans? 216-474-0092. And you're going to laugh when you hear what Bradshaw had to say about the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. We'll have that for you next. Chris Easterling covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He'll join us at 11. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Phelps.
They're normally pretty good around these times, right?
That's Andy Baskin.
Yep. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Sticking to their times around now. It's not like.
Yeah, I think they're very good.
I'm sure they're implementing the game plan for the Bengals for that game on September 7th. That's today. I mean, it's a big day for that. So make sure that we don't interrupt the game plans for that game.
If you missed the last segment, well, you know, shame on you. But if you did, we mentioned something from Terry Bradshaw, former Steeler quarterback, legend, Hall of Famer, now Fox Sports analyst, and has been for a very, very long time. Terry was on 103.7.
The Buzz!
In Little Rock, Arkansas. He was asked about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to hear that in a second. But he went from Aaron Rodgers to talking about a former Steeler quarterback. I want to play it one more time. And that's the guy who now is a Cleveland Brown, Kenny Pickett. Here's Bradshaw on Pickett.
I liked Kenny Pickett. I liked him at Pitt. I know him. I know what he's like. And when they got him to Pittsburgh, here's what they didn't do. They didn't protect him. They didn't.
Was he a first-rounder?
He was. They didn't get him on offensive line. They wanted to run the football, but they didn't have an offensive line that could protect, and they didn't have weapons. He had no wide receivers to speak of. And you throw a kid in there for 2 years, and you got an offense that doesn't fit and doesn't work, and they can't run because their offensive line is not even good enough for a run-blocking team. And therefore, they say Pickett was a failure. He wasn't a failure. The Steelers were a failure. He's traded to Cleveland, who now has four quarterbacks.
Right.
And Pittsburgh really has one, I guess.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like Kenny has a chance here if you listen to Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, but if you listen to the host, you thought he was related to the woman. We are who you are. What was the line? Again, I can't remember the woman from Pittsburgh. Le'Veon. We made you who you are.
Okay. Is it bad when Andy's quoting drops, MK?
But that's like one of the best drops in the history of the show. I mean, this
it's
is
an incredible drop, but I don't know how I feel about Andy Baskin trying to do his impression.
Oh, come on. Kenny Pickett, they are who you made you thought you were.
We made you what you're worth.
Doesn't matter.
There you go.
I got it out. You knew what I was talking about.
Bradshaw likes Pickett.
I was out there picking up gum bands the other day.
Adds even more intrigue to the Browns quarterback battle, I think. Ryan's in Medina. Hello, Ryan.
What's up, Rhino?
I tell you what, Andy, that is a really good Southern dialect you got going on there.
Thank you.
Bradshaw.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you one thing about this.
Well, Ryan, let me tell you one thing,
that
man.
That was a Pittsburgh accent.
I thought I saw. No, wait, it doesn't matter.
Yins guys better get one of them, man. I've been everywhere.
I'm from Southern Pittsburgh, dialect. Squirrel Hill.
What are you doing in Medina now?
I don't even know if it is.
You know what? I'm here just for 4 more days than on the Boston, ironically. But anyway, I digress, man. I'm talking about the Brownies. I tell you, this is just a, as the world turns mentality, just another quarterback carousel. And Andy, Jeff, man, this reminds me of just 98, 99-ish, where we're monitoring, you know, the couches and just Clingsbury's and just whatever, really analyzing who is our quarterback for the future mentality. I haven't seen this much really overt, just everyone's on the table right now. And I truly, in my heart of heart, as a Browns fan, believe that the front office is truly pinpointing out of the collegiate level kids, the Alar, obviously, Nussmeier, and Manning. You know, I mean, these guys are pinpointing. I think the battle right now with these four gentlemen, which is going to be awesome, fine, and fun to watch, is going to be the battle for number two. Really longevity. And again, I understand Pickett is probably numero uno, and I think he is. I'm hopeful to see, obviously, if the, you know, Sanders scenario is going to play out to where he is that number two future. But the battle of number two and three, I think, is on the table. This is just such a unique year, man, because we don't have a true left tackle, which is the biggest thing to protect your guy, man. So it's just like
you might have one. DeJuan played only three games last year.
I like him a lot, okay? He's a big dude. He's the first dude off the bus. He's a big guy that's just like, man, this guy, I want him playing for us. Same time, man. You're going to play against the best rush defensive ends in the NFL on the planet Earth, game after game after game. I hope he succeeds, but I digress, man. It is truly just a unique scenario. Me personally, I'm just pinpointing on this guy the future when it comes to collegiate level. I understand this year, in my opinion, I think Pickett's solid. This is the most unique year ever.
It's different, isn't it, Ryan?
I've never seen this before, man. But hey, Andy, Jeff, I know I didn't say a lot. At the same time, I'm just a Browns fan. Hopefully everything works out. You guys have a great day. Thanks for taking my call.
I know I didn't say a lot. That was like a Browns press conference. I know I didn't say a lot.
You know what, Ryan?
When he did say something, it was important.
Ryan's one of our great callers and listeners, and we appreciate him very much.
Friend of the show.
He usually nails his point.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan was – that call, Ryan – was absolutely what the Browns quarterback situation is all about, because you were all over the place. You were going, you had emotion, you're, and that's what the Browns quarterback thing is right now. It's unique. It's different. Is it good? It doesn't sound like it, but it's what it is. And hopefully out of this mess, they end up with a quarterback. Right now, as Terry Bradshaw said, the Browns have four. You can make the argument they have five because one's injured, and we'll see about that. And the Steelers have maybe one. The Steelers might have two, because there's another guy who's kind of floating around out there who we keep hearing about the Steelers, and that's Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
who needs a team if he wants to play football. Does he want to play football? That's the question. Terry, in his appearance on 103.7.
Psst. Oh, the buzz!
There you go, in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Sorry, I forgot.
Was asked about Aaron Rodgers, oddly enough. And get ready, folks, because this is good stuff.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. That is just, to me, is a joke. Whoa. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and... and whisper to the gods out there. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am. And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Go chew on some bark.
It's going to start snowing?
Did you catch that? Going to chew on some bark.
Wow.
It's going to start snowing. Terry not really endearing himself to the Steeler organization during his appearance on 103.7.
The Buzz!
In Little Rock, Arkansas. Why did you change your approach to why you were saying the Buzz?
Because it depends on the hour and the day part. And just
is that what it is?
Yeah, people want more excitement in the afternoon. They want, I just woke up grumpiness with the Buzz.
Okay. That was Terry. That was funny, is what that was. Can you
imagine? Aaron Rodgers 100% knows who Terry Bradshaw is. Well, come on, there's no.
Yeah, but good exactly. For Terry. You go up and introduce yourself.
Yeah, no, I give it. But he made it sound like even after he said it that Aaron was ice cold, right?
Yeah, it was snowing.
Wow.
If you're the Steelers and you, what did you think if you're Mike Tomlin, if you're the Rooneys and you hear that? I'm guessing you're thinking, Terry, could you please just.
Who cares?
Leave us out of your conversations.
Yeah, but if you're Terry, who cares?
Exactly. If you're Terry, you don't care. He just proved that.
I mean, when's the last time Terry
bashed the guy they might bring in, and he praised the guy that they gave up on?
Yeah, it's not like Terry works for the Steelers.
No, but that's not what I said.
I know, but.
What I said was, if you're the Steelers, what are you thinking? You're thinking, Terry, just please don't say a word. And instead, Terry did, and Terry just lit up Aaron Rodgers and then lit up the Steelers for the way they handled Kenny Pickett. Does Terry's thought about Kenny Pickett change your thought about him here in any way, shape, or form?
No, it doubles down on what I thought and what I thought about his time in Pittsburgh. That's all.
He's unproven
to me. He was in a bad situation in Pittsburgh. Steeler fans will tell you that. I think if you're a Steeler fan, you're hoping that doesn't come back to haunt you. That's all. And by the way, how many things have come back to haunt the Steelers since the 70s? Not much.
Not too many.
No. We're the haunted castle over here on the lakefront. I mean, they've got a patient, professional aura that continues to keep us, in last place year after year after year. So it is a weird situation where the Steelers are. Now, I hate the fact that I even respect them, but I do. I respect the Steelers.
Well, how could you not?
How do you not respect the Steelers? Yeah. I know.
How could you not?
Kills me. The only people I don't respect are Browns fans that we lost to the Steelers because the Browns moved.
Some of them speak highly of you.
If you're born in Northeast Ohio, it's just bad parenting if you're not a Browns fan, even if they stink. And now all of a sudden, if you're both your parents are Browns fans, it's hereditary. I've seen this in the you ever see those gene charts?
Yeah, it's like
one parent's a Browns fan, the other parent's a Browns fan. They can understand coping with misery. The child should be a Browns fan, not someone who turned the cheek and went over to the Steelers, man. Went to the dark side, or even worse, the Ravens.
Let me ask you a Baskin-type question.
Mm-hmm.
You've been asking everybody who we have, give me your depth chart for the quarterbacks, right, with the Browns?
Yeah, I think there's two different ways to look
at this. Hold on. That's not what I want to ask you.
Okay. Oh, takes the fun out of it.
Give me your depth chart of quarterback intrigue. For these guys, which guy do you think is the most intriguing?
Sanders, no questions.
Who's second? Gabriel.
It's probably Gabriel.
Yeah, I think probably too, but I think Kenny Pickett is real close to there. The least intriguing of these options is clearly Joe Flacco because you know what Joe is. He's been around a long time. You know what Flacco is, and if the other guys all fail, well, then thank goodness that Joe Flacco's on this team.
Yeah.
And he could step in and be your starting quarterback. But the three most intriguing guys are the others. And I think Sanders is very intriguing.
The hard part about the Browns story with quarterback right now is I could ask you which one of them is not going to be on the roster when the season starts. And someone could call or you could talk to the next person in line. And that same person that the first person thought won't be here, they'll say that they're going to be the starter next year. There is no rhyme or reason to where we are right now with this quarterback lineup. There just isn't. If Gabriel or Sanders lights it up, one of those two guys easily could be the starter, and then Pickett becomes expendable. Flacco could be expendable.
Yeah.
Or do you want Joe here because you want to keep two young quarterbacks and you want to have a guy around that's going to be able to guide them, and if something falters or doesn't look right, you can go to the bullpen and bring Joe Flacco in. Or do you want to start
the
season?
We know one of those veterans is going to be on the team.
Right. And then if you ask me, okay, the Browns start the season with the Bengals and the Ravens. What quarterback out there probably gives you the best chance to win those two games? Sorry, it's Flacco.
Might not be.
To me, it's Flacco.
I can make the argument that
Who do I trust? Who would I trust? Who of those four guys, who am I going to hand the football to? It's Joe Flacco. And if he falters, then I'm pulling him out. I do think you're going to have a little bit of a baseball manager's mentality with this quarterback situation. And the whole, he started, I got to leave him in because he's a starter. No. Yeah, I don't think they can play it that way.
You could even see a situation where you're playing multiple quarterbacks in a game.
Yes.
You really could.
Now, is that bad?
Oh, it's not ideal. Ideal is one of these guys is head and shoulders above everybody else and you start him. I mean, that's ideal.
I think they could, you're right, Jeff, that they could go through multiple quarterbacks in a game.
I do think that. And I just, the least ideal situation is that Flacco's the starter. And it's only because, to me, that the other guys didn't do very well.
The only problem with switching up quarterbacks in the middle of a game for the Browns now is if you bring Gabriel in, he's left-handed. So now things have to be kind of in reverse on the field. I good football players, it shouldn't matter.
They'll figure that out.
I don't think it should matter, but.
Yeah, not a problem.
I don't.
Kevin's in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're hanging in.
Hey, I'm going to just play devil's advocate a little bit here. With
you got
the
about
Steelers
30 seconds,
this whole,
Kev. Got about 30.
Okay, they're this great franchise, and they're the greatest thing since God to walk in the NFL. Absolutely not. Their quarterback room has been a disaster since Big Ben left. And, I mean, just recently.
Well, it's not easy to get a starter. Look at us.
They screwed up the Justin Fields situation so badly. He went to the Jets just to get away from them. I mean, and now they're like a beggar on the side of the street with their hat in hand saying, oh, please, Rodgers, please come play with me. That's pathetic and ridiculous. I mean, no, the Steelers are not some great franchise. Matter of fact, they're looking pathetic and like losers right now.
All right, Kevin.
So here's my point on that, and I don't disagree. When's the last time the Steelers came in fourth place in the North? I'll wait.
Never?
I'll wait.
Is it ever?
As much as you want to hate them and they might look that way to you, when you're sitting where we're sitting, you have no right to talk.
Chris Easterling covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He's joining us next. His thoughts on Bradshaw's comments and what we're going to see here in OTAs coming up next.